result of intensive work by research institutes and designing bureaus. The first artificial Earth satellite in the world has now been created. This first satellite was today successfully launched in the USSR.
1957. Sputnik orbits the Earth, and the space race began.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Houston, say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
1995. America saw the movie Apollo 13 as theaters took one generation back to their first-hand recollections of a near disaster in space. It introduced to the following generation, which had already lived through such a tragedy, a simpler time when a scenario like this was absolutely unthinkable.
We never lost an American in space. We're sure as hell not going to lose one on my watch. Failure is not an option.
10 years ago, the unthinkable did come true when the space shuttle Challenger exploded just 73 seconds after liftoff. 19 years and one day after the launch pad fire that killed astronauts Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee in Apollo 1.
We always expected to lose someone someday, but not on the ground.
Marion area residents join with others around the country in the memory of the Challenger explosion. Memories as vivid as if they happened yesterday. That's the focus of this WMRN News special presentation. Challenger, Marion thinks back on the unthinkable.
We have main engine start, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff. Liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
Century. They say we've talked about before and speculated on, and it finally has arrived.
Obviously a major malfunction.
It just absolutely etches the picture in your memory just exactly the way it happened. It was that kind of a traumatic experience.
We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded.
I was in my office in Akron, where I had a bunch of employees that had a job where they wore headsets and they could listen to the radio while they were doing their work. And when it came over the news, it was just a total awe of all the employees that just could not believe what they had just heard. Later on that morning, we got a TV into our office and tried to watch what was going on, but I won't forget that day, that's for sure.
Above us, in the sky, over the Atlantic Ocean, above our vantage point, we see nothing but smoke and traces of the solid booster rockets coming down. It was all fire.
I can still see it very vividly in my mind watching it on TV, even though I saw it after the fact. Remembering it was really a true tragedy.
That, of course, was our first priority, just to get out there as soon as possible to see if there might be survivors, and we have found nothing.
Personally, I remember reflecting on the emotions. I was realizing that a school teacher was on board.
The president is deeply concerned and shocked at what he has just seen replayed on television concerning the shuttle launch.
Yeah, it was a real tragedy.
This is truly a national loss.
Harry Button of the Marion Area Chamber of Commerce was in Illinois.
I was in the I was working at the Quincy, Illinois Chamber of Commerce at the time, and I was standing in the bookkeeper's office. We were talking about something, and the secretary came in from the reception area and said, "I've got some terrible news. The shuttle exploded." And those were almost her exact words, and it's so etched in my mind, I can still hear her exact words. And we turned on the radio, and then back in our meeting room, just as we do here, we had a TV set, and we went in there and turned on the TV, and just really sat in silence and didn't say anything and watched the news coverage of what was happening.
Board of Elections Director Judy Lausenslager felt for the families of the crew.
A helpless feeling, wondering, you know, how the families must feel, knowing the feelings that were going through us, how must they feel? We were preparing our income taxes, and my husband and I, an accountant, were gathered in the office and heard it on the radio, and definitely made an impression on our lives that we probably will never forget.
The ABN's Ed Johnson remembers the day exactly.
I was covering the National Cattlemen's Convention in San Antonio, Texas, and I was just getting ready to do a television interview with Joanne Smith out of Florida, who at that point was the president of the National Cattlemen's Association. And of course, to everyone there, it was just total disbelief. I mean, it was so dumbfounding. And in the fact that we were just getting ready to do an interview, and if my memory is right, we postponed that interview to like the next day. But it's just so vivid as you look back on it.
Marion area Air Force recruiter, Technical Sergeant George Trono, was in class.
I was attending my first formal leadership training course with the Air Force. And as myself and other young airmen were learning about leadership skills, our class was interrupted by a non-commissioned officer at the school. He quietly came in the class and he said, "I'm sorry to disturb you, but the Challenger just had problems during liftoff, and I think it exploded." I mean, at this time, we weren't really sure, and he just caught it on the television briefly. So our class, quietly, we filed out into the break room to watch the news. And we were all there learning, of course, how to better serve our country through leadership skills. But then suddenly, we were faced watching the news, looking at outstanding Americans who just gave their lives serving their country. To this day, it's still etched in my mind. And I was just watching the television the other night with my 11-year-old daughter and watching it once again and just holding my daughter's hand quietly during that whole news broadcast.
Dale Osborne, Marion Safety Service Director, remembers astronaut Judy Resnick attended a school in his neighborhood of Akron.
One of the things that was important to us, because we were in Akron at that time, was that the Resnick girl was from Akron. So we had a little bit of close ties with her. She was kind of like my age, and she had gone to a school that was in our neighborhood. So, you know, we knew of her, and we were a little bit close to the situation.
Longtime Akron radio personality Bob Friend remembers the mood of the Rubber City.
I know nationally people are talking about Christy McAuliffe, but it hit home particularly in Akron because Judy Resnick was a very proud member of our community. Everybody was shining a spotlight on her because she was an astronaut, and she went to Firestone High School in Akron, and she was just a math whiz. But the Judy Resnick thing has resonated down through the years, after 10 years now. As a matter of fact, in the paper today, the Judy A. Resnick Center for Women's Health has opened at Akron City Hospital because of the fascinating persona of Judy Resnick.
Dawn McCleary of the Marion Public Library learned by phone of the disaster.
I was working at that time at a small public library in Pennsylvania, and I was actually working at the circulation information desk, and one of the staff members who was due to come into the library in about 40 minutes to start work that day made a call to the library to inform us that the Challenger had exploded, and of course our immediate reaction was like anybody else's, just one of absolute shock and horror. And we got a hold of a television set that we had in the building and turned it on, and of course watched this go on over and over and over again several times throughout the day when we could take a break from work. The interesting thing was that well into late in the afternoon, 3 and 4 o'clock, we still had patrons who were coming into the library who were unaware that this had happened, and it became our job to tell them, you know, this has happened, you need to go home and watch it, you know. And most people were just dumbfounded, especially when they realized they didn't know it had happened, and it, you know, was 3, 4, 5 hours later.
Fourth District Congressman Mike Oxley was in a caucus with other Ohio-based congressmen.
I was in another member's office, as a matter of fact, Congressman Del Latta from Ohio, and we were having a delegation meeting discussing some issues, and somebody from Latta's office came in, and he didn't even have the television on, and said that the Challenger had blown up, and we immediately turned on the television and watched with the horror the entire proceedings. And of course, they the explosion, but there was just numb silence in the room. It's something that I'll always remember very vividly.
Dennis Geary, news director at WMRN at that time, explains what happened in the newsroom with the advent of the explosion.
The most intense memory that I have is that the space shuttle became so routine. Naturally, everybody was enamored by the fact that we had the first teacher in space, but we had almost written it off from a news coverage aspect as being almost routine. And as I recall, I was going through some news files at the time, and I happened to hear the newswire go crazy. And I guess the first thing that strikes you is you hope there isn't a problem with the shuttle because it had become so routine, but only to find out that there was a major explosion and flaw. It was just a shock and just sent shockwaves throughout everybody in the industry. It just was just a shocker.
He also notes it was almost impossible to stay unaffected by the story.
I don't think that anyone, whether it's the viewer, the listener, or the reader of this event, or the people writing about it, couldn't help but get emotionally involved and into a total depression over what happened. I think we're all very deeply affected by what happened.
A local teacher was in line for that flight.
There was a candidate for the Teacher in Space program, Dave Johnston.
President Reagan said, we want the teacher in space, and I felt like he was talking to me. And of course, I was like one of, 11,000, I think, teachers nationwide that applied for this program.
And it was interesting from our local coverage of the event to view that shock through the eyes of Dave Johnston, who was a candidate for the Teacher in Space program. So it added that additional element of our coverage and just contributed to the high drama of this whole shocking event in our history.
Former WMRN morning man and longtime Marion broadcaster Charlie Evers was, as always, on the road.
I had just left work and was on my way to Upper Sandusky to speak to the Retired Teachers Association. And when I got there, or before I got there, of course, I heard the announcement on the radio, and I was the first to tell the assembled teachers of the tragedy in space. But that's a very clear day, that's for sure.
The fact that a civilian and a teacher was on the ill-fated flight touched home with many educators, including Ridgedale Superintendent Gary Troll.
I was living in Memphis at the time and was working as an administrator at a college preparatory school in Memphis. And I can remember very clearly when it happened, a number of students running into my office and telling me what had just taken place. And I can remember everybody scrambling all over the building for televisions. And as I left work that day and went home, it just continued to dominate the news scene for, the rest of the evening. And, you sort of just stayed glued to the television. And, for days after that, that was the main item of interest, on television, radio, newspapers. It really took a while for it to kind of sink in to, exactly what had happened. And people, of course, were searching for answers, and that kept everybody's interest for a long time.
Current County Commissioner Larry Mumper was teaching at Elgin High School.
I was still teaching at Elgin High School, and I was on cafeteria supervision. We had the television set up in the cafeteria and for the students to watch during the lunchtime. And when it happened, a deathly silence fell over the cafeteria, and it was a very traumatic experience for me and for the students, in fact, at that time.
Marion City School Superintendent Dr. Robert Seedy saw effects of the announcement immediately.
I can remember that almost like it was yesterday, because one of the passengers on that mission was an educator. That had really kind of focused the whole group of educators at that time around her and what she was doing, going into space. So when the actual incident occurred, I think it really numbed me. I can remember where I was. I was driving to Columbus for a meeting, and that came on the radio, and it just numbed, I think, everyone on the roadway, too, because several people had pulled off the side of the roadway, and you could tell they were listening to the radios. But it's one of those events that you'll remember probably all your life, and where you were at that time when you heard about the event.
OSU Professor Gordon Albright follows the space program closely and believes in the benefits it has already produced.
I was at an American Association of Physics Teachers meeting, and somebody had heard about it, and we all gathered together, and of course on television they were showing the rerun of what happened, and we all groaned at the same time. It was such a shame, and I'm one who's read science fiction for many, many years, and getting into space, I think, is a beautiful dream, and I really was upset at what happened, of course, for the people themselves and for what it was going to do to the space program.
Although Reverend Dan Kiger, pastor of Marion's Epworth United Methodist Church, was not in Florida for the launch, he felt for those who were there.
I was, at that time, we lived in Athens, Ohio. I was a Methodist pastor there at the time, and I can remember a terrible feeling of sadness. Of course, not only grief for the families touched by that disaster, I mean the immediate families, and just great sadness for those who were there at the Cape watching that. My heavens, how awful that must have been to look at that, to be watching that live, for, I mean truly live, because it was just such a monumental and so highly public and so highly touted disaster just right there in front of everybody.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Forever starts with the perfect diamond. Hi, it's Alex Johnson from The Diamond Seller, and for over 78 years, our family has helped generations of couples celebrate love with brilliance, quality, and unbeatable prices. At Diamond Seller, bigger diamonds and better prices are our promise to you. Whether you're popping the question or upgrading your sparkle, trust the experts. Because diamonds, they're our forte. Visit us at Diamond Seller on Salmo Road or at Easton Town Center and learn more at DiamondSeller.com.
Many Americans watched the launch live on television. Some were near the launch site on January the 28th. Two persons the WMRN News Department spoke to were there. One, Representative Randy Weston, saw the explosion from a distance.
It just so happened that we were down in Florida that week, and we were in Daytona Beach visiting my parents, and I was walking along the street with my brother, and I can still see the little, it was right on the Daytona Strip we were walking along there. He happened to be a sales rep for an athletic store and neighbor. He was working and going up and down the shops there and going in servicing them with t-shirts, and so I can just see those little souvenir shops right there on Daytona Beach, and then where we walked in opening so that we could look out over the ocean and see it. Neither one of us had ever seen a launch before, so when we saw the white kind of puff of smoke and explosion, we were far enough away that we really didn't know that it was an explosion, and we just thought it was a normal part of a launch, and didn't know what had actually happened until about an hour later when we got back to where my parents were staying and saw it on TV and realized that we had seen the explosion take place. So it definitely made a lasting impression.
Air Force Technical Sergeant Jeffrey Jump was stationed at Patrick Air Force Base on Cocoa Beach.
I was actually stationed at Patrick Air Force Base in Cocoa Beach, Florida, which of course is right there where the space program is at NASA. And we had watched several shuttle launches, seen most of them. I lived in base housing there at Patrick, which is actually on the beach. you can walk out the patio and see around to the Cape and watch the shuttle launches from your backyard. On that particular day, I was working. I was at the communications center. My wife was with my father on the beach watching the shuttle launch. At work, we received a message that the shuttle had gone down. And of course, it was mass confusion and chaos. Our initial thoughts were that there had been some possible sabotage or that it had even been shot down. And of course, being on an Air Force installation, there was great concern and things were really hopping. Within a few minutes, we figured out that it had, in fact, been a malfunction. And I called back to talk with wife, and she was very upset. I was actually standing there watching it, and being someone that has seen several shuttle launches, she knew right away what had happened, and it was very disturbing for her. And of course, there at Patrick Air Force Base, the pararescue team did the initial search and rescue to try to find survivors, and unfortunately, there were none, and it was a very solemn day for everyone at the base. But my wife has some unique memories of that, and it happens to be our anniversary, and so it's a day that we always talk about. As we're celebrating our anniversary, we're also remembering what happened and saying a little silent prayer there.
It's been 10 years since that explosion. Almost everyone we spoke with described the same emotions many felt when we learned on that November 22nd that President Kennedy had been killed over 30 years ago.
Truthfully, I can't watch it. I just have to turn away. It's so vivid a memory watching it. It's just not something I care to watch again.
Kennedy, the same president that wanted an American on the moon before the end of the decade of the 60s.
Together, let us explore the stars.
It's very intense. You know, the feeling is just as intense watching that accident occur as it was the day they landed on the moon for the first time. It really is. It's just that one is an emotion of absolute elation and wonder as compared to one of shock and horror.
I have two sons in college right now who, of course, they would have been about 10 years old approximately when this happened. When they talk about events that, you know, the most important event in their lifetime, one of those just exactly like the Kennedy thing was for many alive now, like Pearl Harbor had been for the older generation. The Challenger disaster is that one for my kids. They can remember exactly where they were sitting, who was sitting beside them, who they talked to immediately, that kind of thing. So this was their first numbing national tragedy like that, you know. So we could certainly hope that perhaps that will be the only kind of awful disaster like that this generation can fix on.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
It's one of those things that is like Kennedy's assassination, one of those things where virtually everybody remembers in minute detail where they were and what their emotions were, and that doesn't happen very often to people, fortunately.
I can remember that as well, because at that point I was doing a field job for the Ohio Farm Bureau. I was covering Fairfield and Pickaway and Ross counties, and I was at a bookstore buying supplies for something in Lancaster when the president was shot.
Kind of like the Kennedy thing, I think what then did happen was that a lot of us were just glued to the television because, of course, we were just seeing replay after replay of this and, of course, analysis after analysis of this as well. I don't remember the kind of massive outpouring in the houses of worship quite like there was around the Kennedy assassination. I do remember there was a similar kind of numbness almost, although there wasn't anybody to be mad at particularly. We could so easily, quickly focus on that awful assassin in the Kennedy matter. There wasn't just such an easy target for a wrath with the Challenger disaster like there had been, I think, with the Kennedy. So I did see that difference.
Congressman Mike Oxley was there as President Ronald Reagan delivered the eulogy.
I later went to the memorial service. NASA provided a plane to go down to Florida, and I participated in the memorial service for the crew. And of course, President Reagan was there and spoke. And it was one of the most moving experiences I've ever had. And after the services, we got back on the plane and flew right back to Washington. But it was an experience that I'll never forget. And I thought Reagan was at his best in his eulogy of the fallen crew members of the Challenger.
Today is a day for mourning and remembering. The crew of the Space Shuttle Challenger honored us for the manner in which they lived their lives. We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning, as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God. Thank you.
Tributes to the Challenger crew did not stop with the memorial services. After 10 years, we are still touched by the legacy of their courage.
Years later, I had the pleasure of meeting with Captain Scobie. It's one of the sons of the astronauts, and he's an Air Force pilot today. And I was in South Carolina, and after talking with him for a while, I was realizing, you know, he wasn't even an Air Force pilot during this tragedy. However, he's doing what his father did. He's flying the skies, hoping to keep America free.
At the 10th anniversary salute over Super Bowl 30, January 28, 1996, Rich Scobie, son of the fallen Challenger astronaut, led the flyover of jets at the game.
I salute not the death of those Americans, but the lives that they, of serving their country with honor and with pride, what they did for America.
The space shuttle carried on its side the flag of the United States. And those who served in her served us, the American people. They served our hopes for scientific exploration and for human progress. But they also served our dreams because they lived at the frontier what mankind can achieve together.
And with that, I just want to say God bless the shuttle crew, God bless their families, God bless the Air Force, and God bless America.
While the Challenger crew lost their lives that day in January, many still believe that the space program should continue in order to reap many of the benefits that come from this type of endeavor, the name of Challenger's replacement in the space shuttle's continuing program. Some question the technology of the time, the mechanics of the situation.
I suppose part of the shock that hit, and I'm reading some retrospect, I suppose, into this now, was just all kinds of questions about our technologies and technology's place in our society and all that kind of stuff.
For a few seconds at least, and more seconds than that, there's no resilience in this particular material when it's at a temperature of 32 degrees.
I wish that people would just go on with the space program anyway, because it does pay us back in ways, in terms of increase of knowledge, in terms of other things that we just are not going to have if we continue to squat here on Earth and play out our petty little games on a little stage. I'd like to see humanity reach the stars, and it's going to take work to reach the stars, and it's going to take setbacks to reach the stars. The Romans had a line for it. They said, ad astra per aspera, which means the stars through work, and if you work hard enough, you can get there. And we are at a stage where we as a nation, we as a race can realize that, and I just hope that we will continue on. We have done some good things since then. Galileo probe of Jupiter and various other things, but that was really a pretty downheartening thing to happen to the space program.
There's no resilience in this particular material when it's at a temperature of 32 degrees. I believe that has some significance for our problem.
Together, let us explore the stars.
Cassius was right. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night, and good luck.
I'm News Director Terry Cole, and on behalf of the WMRN News Center, we would like to extend our appreciation to all who participated in the making of the special broadcast, including all of those who have shared memories on this program. Special thanks to Kurt Konieski for technical assistance, Joe Suarez for additional research and follow-up, and archive material from the Mutual Broadcasting System. Music and quotes from the soundtrack of Apollo 13 on MCA Records. Challenger, Marion Thinks Back on the Unthinkable, is an exclusive presentation of WMRN News.